John chapter number 14. If you're physically able, I would ask you to stand and read in reverence of the Word of God. John chapter number 14. Look with us in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Aren't you glad he'll do it? Amen. Aren't you glad if you believe and trust in him, he'll do it? Amen. You may be seated. I know some of you are thinking this morning, "Preacher, that's a lot of text, and I sure hope you're not going to preach all of that." Well, we're going to try to hit some of the highlights and then go into our message this morning. In John chapter number 14, this is before the resurrection, this is before the crucifixion, and this is before they had even really known what Jesus was there for. In verse number 1, Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled." I'll say this to you this morning, and I truly believe this, and whether you admit it or not, there are some of you sitting in this congregation this morning, your heart is troubled. There's something that's bothering you. There's something that is nagging at you. Whether it's a circumstance that you cannot control that is bothering you deep to your core, it's something that you're worrying about. It's something that you have absolutely no control over. I'll say this to you this morning. Sickness oftentimes brings trouble sometimes in our life. Financial problems will bring trouble sometimes in our life. And can I say this to you this morning? Our hearts will get troubled over things that really do not matter. We will get upset and frustrated with things that are of absolutely no value and no importance. And I'll say to you this morning, we must be careful what our heart troubles us over. I will say this to you this morning, I don't believe in worrying. There are things that I get concerned about, and there are things, listen to me, that bothers me, that are out of my control. But I'll say this, I shall not, in my deepest desires, let them overwhelm me, because I realize there are things that are out of my hands, and there are things that I have no control over. There are things, Brother Odin, that I cannot fix, and there are things that I cannot do. And Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now I understand in the context of Scripture that Jesus was speaking of his coming day on Calvary. He was speaking to them about the crucifixion. He was speaking to them about the resurrection and the ascension. He was telling them, and basically paraphrasing this morning, there was a time coming when Jesus was not going to be with them. There was a time coming when their master, their rabbi, their savior, their leader, their teacher was not going to be with them in the flesh. And he was explaining to them, do not get upset. Do not get afraid. Do not get discouraged. Do not weigh off. And I'll say this to you this morning. A lot of times we as Christians get discouraged. We get upset and we get frustrated because it seems like Jesus is so far away. It seems like we're in a dark valley by ourselves. It seems like everything has come against us, and we've came to a place that we are troubled. We have came to a place to where we're in despair. We have came to a place that our circumstances has overwhelmed us. Might I say to you this morning, out of good cheer, let not your heart be troubled. And I'm glad this morning, listen to me, though the storms may rage, I still know who the master of the sea is. Though hell may be raging hot, I'm glad it's built upon a rock, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad whether I live or I die, I'm a winner either way. Hey, listen to me. Though the enemy comes after you, hey, there's an army behind you of heaven that done defeated death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Can I say this to you this morning? Number one, don't let your heart bother you. You say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. I'm glad there's a God in heaven, knows everything that's wrong with you. He knows everything that's happened in your life. He knows where the enemy has hit you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're feeling. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Notice what he says. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, if you're going to believe in God, you need to believe in me. Why is that? He begins to explain. He said, I and my Father are one. The Father is in me and I am in him. Aren't you glad this morning? There's a threefold ministry and there's a threefold cord that is wrapping us in love. You say, preacher, what is that? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. I'm glad this morning these three work together and are one. And I'm glad this morning that I'm in the very palm of his hand. I'm glad that man shall not pluck me out of his hand. Honey, I'm telling you this morning, the devil can't take me away from God. He may take everything we've got, but he cannot take what Jesus did on Calvary. He cannot take what he settled in my soul. And honey, I'm glad to report to you, let not your heart be troubled. I want you to notice this morning in verse number 2. He said, in my Father's house or many mansions. The choir every now and then sings. And brother David Delapaz comes in and he sings it so beautiful. A mansion over the hilltop. Well, I'll say this to you this morning. Whether I got a cardboard box, listen to me. Whether I've got a cardboard box or a tent or a house in glory, it don't make a hill of beans difference. You say, preacher, why is that? Because I'm glad to know where I'm a-going. And I'm glad to know that I won't have to lock something up there. And I'm glad that I know where I'm going. Listen to me, I'll not need a place to go in and rest. I'll not need a place. Listen to me. I want you to understand something this morning. I've heard preachers talk about this. They talk about a mansion over there. I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place. Now, I want you to know something this morning. We're not going necessarily to the Father's house. But we're going to a place that Jesus has prepared. And I'll say this to you this morning. Jesus knew what the outcome of his life would be. Jesus knew at this very instant what prophecy would be fulfilled. Jesus knew at this very instant, Brother Robert, what was going to happen. He knew who was going to betray him. He knew who was going to deceive him. He knew who was going to deny him. He knew what trials he would be dragged to and mock trials. Listen to me. It did not catch him off guard. It did not get him tore up. He already knew what his purpose was to come and die on an old rugged tree. And he was prepared. Preparing the disciples for the later days. He says in verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He says in verse number 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, I'll say this to you this morning. We're going to move into the message, and we're covering through the introduction, building up to where the point where we're going. But I'll say this to you this morning. Thomas did not have an understanding of that. He could not fathom that. Have you ever met somebody and they would make this statement? They said, how could a God that loves us so much send somebody to hell? Have you ever met somebody that says, how could God being holy send somebody to hell? If a God that big and God loves us so much, how would he let somebody die and go to hell? Can I say this to you this morning and moving forward? I am not to challenge God's final authority. But I will say this on his behalf. It is God's given ability to man for free will choice to accept Christ as your Savior or die and go to hell. It is not God who sends people to hell. It is not God who chooses that you'll die and go to hell. That is free will that you accept Christ as your Savior. I am glad that God is willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. It is not God who sends anybody to hell. If you go to hell, you send yourself there. And I'll say this to you this morning, it is God's will that all should come to repentance. And I'll say this evening to you this morning, Jesus said, I am the way. Thomas couldn't get a hold of that. He was trying to think about what this means. He was trying to be much like Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. And Brother Junior, he said, how can a man be born again? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Is it possible to do that? And I'll say this to you this morning. Science would say that is not possible. Hey, I'm telling you, the doctors will tell you that's not possible. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a lot bigger than my mama. I couldn't be born again that way. But Jesus was speaking spiritually about a soul getting birth into life. And I'll say this to you this morning. We are born in sin. Whether you recognize it or not, you and I are born in sin. We are born under Adam's sin. We are born under the sin that Adam passed on through generations. And the only way a man can be saved is through Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. But he says he's going away. He's going away. The Bible teaches us, blessed are those who have believed yet have not seen. I'm thankful this morning for us. Listen to me, as a child of God, I know who Jesus is, though I've never seen Him face to face. I know who His existence was, though I've never seen Him face to face. Might I say to you this morning, the disciples and Philip and Thomas could not get a hold of what Jesus was saying. And I'll say this to you this morning, there are people sitting in a Baptist church that cannot get a hold of what Jesus has said. And I want to this morning, by the help of the Lord, to be a mouthpiece for God, to make some understanding of what Jesus was telling the disciples. I realize this morning there are preachers across this nation that will mount the pulpit and go to Matthew chapter number 28 on the first day of the week, and they will preach on the resurrection of Jesus. That is important. I went through the Sunday school hour with our teenage class, and I asked them a question. I simply asked, what did Jesus do during the 3 days He was in the tomb? I got responses. Brother Ryan Suits tickled me the best. He was very philosophical, sound, I guess you could say. He was our theologian. He said, I thought he slept. I know why Ryan thought that. Because in the book of Thessalonians, it said concerning them which sleep. Right, Ryan? I'm helping you here. I asked Ty, and Ty said, I don't know. I went around the class, Layla and Kinley and Caden and different ones, and I began to ask them, and they said, preacher, we really don't know. And so we went to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, and read about where He led captivity captive. Then we went to the book of Psalms, and then we went to Luke 16, where Jesus descended into the bowels of the earth and looked at paradise. Listen to me this morning. Aren't you glad we've got a place far better than paradise? Aren't you glad that Jesus descended to the bowels of the earth and rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father, hey, making intercession for you and I, and is preparing a place? Amen. Can I say this to you this morning? He is gone from our sight. He told the disciples it was expedient for Him to go away. He said, it's imperative. He said, it is so important that I leave you. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. What is that Comforter? That Comforter is the Holy Spirit. That Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And I realize this morning we live in a generation about spooks and different things. But I'll say this to you. The Holy Ghost is a spiritual person. It is a man that comes and deals with men's heart. I thank God when the choir's up singing because He loved me. I can feel the Holy Ghost pass by and brush my sleeve and let me know that God's still real. And let me think back to Calvary and what Jesus did for me. I am thankful this morning. I'll not get troubled over what the stock market does. I'll not get troubled over what Donald Trump does or Vladimir Putin does. You say, preacher, why is that? Because I'm a winner in Christ Jesus. Number one, this morning, He's gone from our sight. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 11. The Bible says, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into the heaven. Can I say this to you this morning? If Jesus, listen to me, if Jesus had just rose from the dead, and dwelt with man and never ascended to the Father, it would have never been of effect. Can I say to you this morning what makes our beliefs? Listen to me, I don't care if you're Pentecostal, Baptist, Primitive Baptist. I don't care what denomination you're out of. What matters is whether you know Jesus is your personal Savior. And I'll say this to you this morning on Easter Sunday. When Jesus, listen to me, if Jesus had been buried and he never got up, Brother David, every bit of what we have done would have been in vain. Everything that has been said, every belief would have been in vain. Honey, I'm telling you, you say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in God. I just don't believe in this Jesus stuff. And I just don't believe that. Listen to me, you're making a free will choice. You're making a decision right there to deny Christ by saying, I'll not believe. And I'll say this to you this morning, when Jesus ascended during that time, when he led captivity captive and he ascended, can I say this to you? He went to the mercy seat and applied the blood. Can I say this to you this morning? The blood is free, but it cost him everything. For you and I to be saved, it cost us nothing. Boy, we make a big deal, Brother O'Dane, about getting saved. We have to give up this and we have to give up that. And we've got to do this and we've got to give up that. And we got to act this way and we got to act that way. Listen to me. Let me say this to you this morning. You ain't got to give any of that up. Now, I seen some eyebrows look up at me. Preacher, you telling me if I get saved, I ain't got to give up drinking? Preacher, you telling me if I get saved, I ain't got to give up doping? Brother Joy, I believe if they'll get saved, they'll want to quit doing those things. I don't believe you got to give up anything. But I believe, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I believe the Apostle Paul said, when you get born again, your life will change. When you get birthed into the family of God, you'll not want to do those things that you once done. You'll not want to run with that crowd that you once did. You'll not want to hang out with them dope heads like you once did. Your life will change. You say, preacher, you really think God can change me? A God whom I serve hung the heavens in their array. You ever thought about this? How many of you ever made a mud hole before? Anybody? Ron, I'm glad you're honest. James was with me this morning. Robert, you ever made a mud hole? And Jeff's holding his arm up. Daddy is. Some of you women, oh, preacher, I don't do that. Listen to me. When your husband ain't around, I know you out there stomping in it. Don't lie. You can act all dainty this Sunday morning if you want to. When I was a kid, during the summer, we like to get the water hose and make a mud hole and tromp around in it. And then when it come a heavy rain, Brother Rusty, in Mom and Daddy's backyard, there was a hill and then it kind of flattened out and there was a terrace before it went down the next hill. And if it rained really, really hard, Ryan, there'd be water standing. And it could be in the middle of June. And after that thunderstorm passed through and it rained really hard, it was so tempting to run out there. And I never understood this. Mama would fuss at us. We'd go sliding in it. But then when you start playing football, everybody thinks it's a great time, and even the fans enjoy you sliding in the mud. I never figured that out. But let me ask you something. How many of you have ever went to the beach and you got you a bucket of sand and went and got you a bucket of water and you poured that water on that sand and you might have made a sandcastle? And boy, you molded it and made it. But all it was sand and water. Isn't it amazing the God we serve reached down out of heaven and picked up the same dirt of this earth. Picked it up in his hand and took some water and took some dirt and began to mold it and began to make it. And he began to form man out of the dust of this earth. And he called him Adam and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And give him a soul. Can I say this to you this morning? I can go out here and pick up all the dirt I want, pour all the water I want, and blow on it. Brother O'Dean, I can't make nothing but a mud hole out of it. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven can take the smallest things, the things that are so insignificant, the things that are the very dirt of this earth, and form mankind out of it and make him live and give him a soul. And hey, listen to me, and send a man named Jesus to die on Calvary because of the creation went against the Creator. Isn't it amazing this morning? And you said, "Preacher, what do you mean? Why is your heart troubled? Why are you bothered?" Well, preacher, it feels like I'm all by myself. No, you ain't. You see, when you got born again, you got the Holy Spirit. He's there comforting you and guiding you along this way. Jesus is but gone from our sight. Stephen, at the very moment of his death, when he looked up to heaven and he asked God not to lay it to their charge, he seen the Son of God standing on the right hand of the Father. And then he went to sleep. You say, "Preacher, do I know He's real?" I sure know He's real. Why did Jesus leave us? Why did Jesus leave us? The book of Revelation, chapter number 21, begins to tell us about a place that Jesus has gone to prepare. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn there and read all that, but He begins to give us a glimpse of heaven. Now listen to me this morning. Don't you dare fall out with me. I've heard preachers preach funerals, and I disagree, and this is my personal belief, and I've got Bible to back mine. You show me Bible to back yours, and we'll agree, and we'll go on. If I'm wrong, you correct me after church. But I've heard preachers say at the funeral, "Brother so-and-so or sis so-and-so is walking on a street of gold." I don't believe that. I'm sorry, but listen to me. If your grandma or your grandpa has passed away, listen to me, they're not walking through a gate of a pearl. And they're walking on that street of gold. Honey, they ain't seeing all that. You say, "Well, preacher, I've been taught that my whole life." Brother Joy, that don't happen until after everything happens here. Listen to me. That's why Paul was talking about those who are asleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when I die here, spiritually, my soul goes back there. What is that place? Can I say this to you? It's much like in Old Testament times, talking about paradise, where Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom. When Jesus led captivity captive, He took paradise to the third heaven. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but just being with Jesus would be heaven enough. Just being there. That's why Paul, and we'll flip over in Thessalonians in a few minutes, but I'll say this to you this morning. He is gone to prepare a place. What kind of place is He going to prepare? The book of Revelation, chapter number 21, gives us the inside description after the great white throne judgment has passed away. And it talks about God Himself. "I shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more sickness, no more dying." Listen to me, honey. There'll be no more heartaches over there. Can you imagine a place where there's no funeral home? I was down at Forsyth Hospital yesterday evening. Well, let me correct that. Last night, I was in Wilkesboro yesterday evening, and I was in Winston last night. As I was walking through that hospital, listen to me, I did not realize that place, Brother Joey, was as big until I got there. I've always went through the main entrance, parked in the clergy parking, walked through the main entrance, got on the main elevators, went up and down. I did not realize I should have took the bus to go to the emergency department that way. About halfway there, I thought, should I turn around and go back and get the car? Because I don't know how much further it'll be. But I walked by room, and then we got back there, and I seen Brother Paul, Miss Ella May, and Johnny and Sandra all sitting there concerned about Tim. And Holly come out, and she said, "The nurse said y'all can all come back." And she says, "Well, wait a minute, preacher, except you. He's really mad at you because you shouldn't be here because you got sunrise in the morning." And I thought, well, Paul and Ella May does too. Isn't that what she told me, Miss Ella May? And we went walking back through there, and we're talking about the emergency department. We went by room after room after room after room. And I forgot how many beds they had in the emergency department, but there was three different ones. There was pod A, pod B, and pod C. And every one of them was full of people. And I went walking by some, and you know, it's human nature to kind of glance in and stare at it. See what's going on. Oh, some of y'all so holy say, "Oh no, preacher, I don't do that." Youngin' cuts up behind you in church, and you're the first one that goes... I couldn't help, Brother Joy, but glance down through there at all the people that was in pain. All the people that was in heartache. All the people that was suffering. I went Tuesday evening. I went and seen Miss Tammy at Kernersville and come back by Baptist Hospital and sing some. I went to Forsyth and sing some more. In every room I walked by, there was somebody suffering. There was somebody hurting. There were some that I was meeting, Brother Robert, that was coming out. Their loved one had passed away, and there was weeping.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, there's a coming day. Oh, that's going to be gone. They'll be remembered no more. Well, you say, preacher, why in the world does it say God Himself shall wipe away the tears from their eyes? Because, Brother Joy, I believe at that very instant, they still have the memory of the former things. They still have the memory of the loved ones. They still have the memory of those things in their life before. But all of a sudden, everything is made new. The new heaven has came down. And all that is forgot about. Listen to me. Some of you this morning, you're troubled. Listen, I'm going to say this to you. You can't control cancer. You can't, listen to me, you can't even force your own heart to beat. You can't control a blood clot. You can't control pain. You can't do a thing about it. But what I can tell you is it's only temporal. Listen to me. Another year is going by like this. I was seeing a man this morning, Ty, and I both went out and talked to him. I was at Baptist Hospital Tuesday to see his brother. And when I got home Tuesday night, I got a call that his brother was down there. He had had a heart attack. I mean, I had just missed him. And he was standing out here at his daddy's grave this morning. And he was weeping. And he was talking to him. And I went down and hugged him up. He's my buddy. But yeah, he goes to another church, but he's still my buddy. We pick at him at ball games. And he said, preacher, he said, I can't believe how long it's been since Daddy's been gone. He said, it seems just like yesterday I got the call at work. Mama found Daddy asleep in the bed. He wasn't breathing. He said, I'll never forget. He said, I come through the door and I seen you helping carry Daddy and lay him on the stretcher. And you come out and hug me. He said, it seems like it was yesterday. He said, but it's going on 2 years. I want to tell you something this morning. Time goes like this. It seems just like yesterday. I was holding a little baby girl that was sweeter than anything in the world. Hey, Brother Johnny, it was just almost 3 years ago. I was sitting in a room in Hugh Chatham holding this little tiny thing, this little bundle of joy, much like Velcro over there. He's still a bundle of joy. And Ian, Dan, it was probably just yesterday. You remember seeing him come out. And that little sweet bundle of joy that everybody, oh, she's so precious. And last night I was sure I was going to have to cast the demons out of her. We blinked our eyes and 3 years has come on us. Daddy tells me, he said, son, he said, I blinked my eyes and 32 years has went by and you're now my pastor. Some of you this morning, it seems just like yesterday that you said goodbye to mom and dad on this side. I promise you this, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, honey, when we least expect it, the last trump shall sound and Christ shall step out on the air. Honey, I'm glad He's going to prepare a place, because if He's going to prepare a place, it means He's going to come back and receive me into where He is. Honey, I don't care if there's a mansion there. I don't care if I got a street to walk on. Honey, I just want to see the Lamb of God that shed His blood on Calvary.
Amen.
I'm glad. Listen to me. I'm glad He went to prepare a place. Lastly, this morning, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 for just a moment. We're going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Bible says this in verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? What are we preaching this morning? We're preaching this morning that Christ rose from the dead. You know what? There's still a world that denies it. You know what amazes me is we're in the year 2018. We are the smallest group of Christians that's ever walked to the face of the earth. And there's a generation coming on that's the wickedest generation you've ever seen. And the number of Christians are getting smaller and smaller. The number of conservatives is getting smaller, but liberals are growing daily. He says, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is vain, or your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. This is talking about those who have died. In this life, only if we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and are become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He have put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And all that's where we're preached, but I'm focusing on verse number 19. Can I say this morning, if all your hope is just in Christ and that's it, you're most miserable. Well, preacher, why is that? Any of y'all ever met any Jehovah's Witnesses? Anybody? Anybody ever really sat down and had a good discussion with them? Anybody hold your hand up? You ever heard what they've had to say? I'm going to be honest with you. We had one at work. Listen to me. If you're going to be a JW, at least be a good JW. If you're going to be a Catholic, at least be a good Catholic. If you're going to be a Baptist, at least be a good Baptist. But if you get saved, it won't matter what you are because you're a child of God. But I'll say this. I got to know, and I'll use his name because he don't live in this area anymore, but I got to know Tim very well, and he wasn't even a good JW. He wasn't. He knew all the talk, but his life didn't match what he was talking about. And boy, he really felt good. Brother Joe, he'd give me conversation. Dad, he'd give me conversation. Brother Junior, he'd give me conversation. Yeah. And I listen to me, I know how Baptists are. If somebody don't believe the way we do, you know what we do? I ain't having nothing else to do with them. You know what they believe? I know how we are. How many of you see the carload pull up on Saturday and you see a couple men and a lady get out and you know what they are and you don't answer the door? How many do that? You know what amazes me is they'll take an hour to tell you all about their stuff, but they won't give you 10 minutes to hear yours. They always got to go. But they'll spend an hour going over the same thing with me, but they don't want to hear what I got. I got to go. Listen, I mean, let's be reasonable. Let's hear one another out. And I got to talking to Tim one day, and I began to ask some questions. And boy, Miss Marie, he felt like he was getting somewhere. He was going to convert a Baptist preacher. I mean, and he told people in the plant, he's like, yeah, I think we're going to, I'm going to get him converted. I'm pretty sure I am. Ty, they some folks slipped out there. You tell them, come on in. We'll let Junior preach here in a minute. But I'll say this to you. He really felt good. Rusty, you remember Tim? It was CMM operator. I would go down there, and when I had to take some parts down there, I had to stay with him when he run the CAD and the data to make sure he was running what I give him. And I would listen to him, and I'd ask questions. He had no idea I was building a bank of everything he said to contradict it. I picked his mind. I mean, he even brought me pamphlets in there about the Watchtower. You know what my wife done? She didn't realize I was studying those things. She threw them away. We ain't having this garbage in our house. And chunked it. And I'd bring some more in. It said to watch tower. And she finally got to question me. She said, What's going on? And I said, I'm doing something. Just leave me alone. I'll take any piece of literature and I want to study it because I want to know why they're doing what they're doing. And I want to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I asked my teenagers this morning, I said, why are you Baptist? You know what response I got? Ryan was Baptist and Ty's Baptist because they were born into a Baptist family and they were raised Baptist. Did you know that? Some of you this morning are what you are is because that's what you was born. That's what you were raised up in. Listen to me. I was raised Southern Baptist and turned out to be an independent Baptist. I got to baptize you again. I knew there was something wrong with you. Will you help me? Can I get another man to help me get behind? Yep. Boy, they are all grades of people volunteer to help baptize you. Did you know that? I tell you what, I'll just stand there and we'll baptize him until everybody gets a turn. All right? That's what y'all want to do? I'm just there to assist you in baptizing Brother Robert. But I was picking Tim's mind, and boy, he was feeling good. He brought me all grades of literature from the Watchtower, and he was bringing it to me. And I began to question him about Luke chapter 16. And that really began to hit a nerve. And then I got to talking to him about this new heaven, this new earth. And boy, he had an answer for that. He said, that's for the 144,000 are saved out of the 12 tribes of Israel. And boy, he was going through all that. And I said, so is there a literal hell? And he says, well, I just don't believe in that. And he said, that's pretty harsh. I said, but the Bible teaches us there's a literal hell. Well, he's using that as a parable. That's talking about the grave. I said, I've touched a lot of dead bodies. And I've held a lot of caskets. And I've watched a lot of men lower those caskets down. And there ain't been a bit of heat in that body or in that casket. And I said, I'm smart enough to know that back in the day, there was some people during the summer months would bury some stuff in the dirt to get it cold. Well, you're just looking at it wrong. Then I got to ask him about heaven and about Jesus and all that. And I was picking his mind. And finally it come down to the point. I finally asked him, I said, so, you're telling me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, yeah, the soul goes back to God. He said, you didn't know your soul was there before you was put into your body. And he said, you don't even know you're there, but it's a spiritual rest. You're asleep. I said, okay. All right. I said, what about this heaven? He said, well, there's only a limited amount that has went. You know what I done? I'm about 2 months into this conversation. I derailed his train. I said, so my soul's going to go back to God. And when I die, you're telling me there's only a limited number that's going to get saved. I said, now, if my mind recollects, and I'm pretty dumb about some things. I have to be careful what I say with our kid. But I'm not very intelligent about some things. I said, but this thing don't make a hill of beans of sense to me. And I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. And I thought I had it all figured out. And you done, I don't know where you're at. And I said, he's like, you're really interested in this. He says, well, I can lead you with the steps. I said, no. I said, I don't want no part of it. He said, why is that? I said, because you're telling me I'm going to have to be good, act good, go to your meetings, get lectured by your people, and when I die, it's over. There's nothing after that. Because I'm not one of the number. Even though y'all changed it for some and some more gets to go, can't I be in the next change and get to go? He said, well, no, the more we studied, we found out we was wrong. I said, what you found out was people kept getting born and becoming followers, so you had to meet and adapt to tell people they were going to heaven. And I said, you're telling me right now I'm not going to be one of them numbers. Listen, buddy, I don't know what you got. If I got to do all that and I ain't getting nothing in return, I'm going back to drinking and partying. No, Josh, you can't be like that. I said, listen. I said, why would you live for God and serve God to know at the end of life there was nothing? It was all over. If that's all you believed, was you were morally right, you did what was right, you acted what was right, and at the end of it, you weren't judged, everything just went black, it was over. I said, wouldn't you be like Paul, most miserable? If this was as good as it was going to get, aren't we most miserable? I mean, there would be no sense in preaching. There'd be no sense in witnessing. There'd be no sense in telling people about a place called it. I wouldn't even want that. That's like Miss Annette telling me this morning she made a strawberry cake. And knowing I want to go over there so bad, but I ain't going to get it. She's going to have to hide it when James goes over there or he'll bust his diet. I mean, that's like me walking into Mama's the other Saturday evening and Mama knows I love a strawberry pound cake and Anna's been on Weight Watchers and I'm having to eat green beans. Healthy. The other night she looked at me, she said, I know you don't like green beans, but that's all I got. You know what I did? I got that box of Frosty Flakes out of the cabinet. I poured me a bowl of it. He said, well, I couldn't do them green beans, brother. Daddy got on that one. He's all right now. I mean, that's like sitting down and eating a meal. And somebody telling you, I got a chocolate pie fixed. But you... You eat this, I'm going to have you a chocolate pie, and then you get done eating, and ain't no chocolate pie. I mean, I went by Mama's the other week, and we had just eaten at the Mexican restaurant, and I had splurged myself on my one meal I was going to get. And Mama said, I just made a strawberry pound cake, and I was like, Mama, I love strawberry pound cake, but I'm already swelled up this big, and I got to go to the doctor next week, and I know what he's going to say, and I knew exactly what he's going to say. He said, what happened to your diet, Mr. Blevins? You gained 4 pounds. My wife keeps asking me this if I lose, and I don't say yes or no. I go, She comes in and tells me how much she lost. I go back to the doctor. She goes, well, how much did you lose? I went, They did blood work. They checked all this other stuff. Oh, my cholesterol was good, honey. They said it was perfect. I mean, if this was all we had in life, we're miserable. But you know what? It may be rough here, but I know it's going to get better there. It may be bad here, but listen to me. These things are only temporal, honey. It's just going to last for a little while. Honey, I can eat them green beans because I know they ain't going to last. I know after about 4 more bites, I'm like Brooklyn. Honey, give me 3 more bites and I'll... Because I know there's something better on the other side. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, we're most miserable. I want to say this to you this morning. If you're out here without Jesus, you're most miserable this morning because you have no hope. And you ought to be troubled this morning because you know there's no hope. You ought to be troubled this morning because what you're doing, I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you act right. I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care how many times you go to Mom and Daddy's. Listen to me, you can sit and pray, but you're still most miserable because you're dying and going to hell. And Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. And Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Aren't you glad? Listen to me. If all we had was just to be good here, we'd be miserable. But there's something far better over there. Listen to me, I've got the promise of it. I've seen those who died that were saved leave out of here with a smile. I've seen those, listen to me, get right there at that point in their life when they knew it was about time. And I've even heard them say, I'm ready to go. And whenever the Lord wants me, I'm ready. And then I've heard them talk about how afraid they are to die. Because they don't know what's on the hereafter. And they're miserable because they have no peace. Jesus come by to tell you this morning, let not your heart be troubled. He said, I have rose from the dead. He said, I have ascended to the Father. He said, I am making intercession for you. He said, I am preparing a place. And He said, I will come again. You know what? He's coming. When they men were standing there in Acts chapter 1 looking up, the angel told them, said, this same Jesus will come in like manner. Listen to me, I believe we're one step away from Him stepping out. Amen. Why not get right today? Miss Jody's going to come play a hymn of invitation.